My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to
Will and Divvy
on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, that's us. And if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to Willie and Divvy on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find all of your favorite podcasts with your earbuds and your smart speaker or whatever it is. And while you're there, make sure to listen to Steve Kerr joining the morning roast earlier today. This Team USA game clearly got to people not just in a basketball way, but in an emotional way yesterday as they win over Serbia and come from behind fashion and hit the gold medal game tomorrow against France. Meantime, I thought, interesting time to circle back on a conversation that you and I had 2.5 weeks ago, because I left here to go Aloha right before the trade deadline. And you remember what I had said to you, which was that in the calendar month of August and September, as a Giants fan, my entertainment dollar is reserved for one thing and one thing only this year, and that would be a pennant race.
Right.
I am not going to take the kids to the ball game and do Tony's Pizza and do Pete's out in left field, and we're not doing that to watch the young people get better. We're doing that if you are in the race. And so I need to ask you a question. Are they in the race?
Absolutely, they're in the race.
Okay.
That's a really good question, Mark.
Thank you.
It's really not that great of a question, Roxy. It's just a question that has to be asked if you're wondering whether or not you should spend your dollars and you're only going to spend it if they're in the race. You got to ask yourself, are they in the race? Well, the first thing I said to you before you went on your Aloha adventure was, wake me when you get above 500. When you get above 500, then and only then can you look and see if you're in the race. So here they are, above 500, 59 and 58. It's been a long time since they've been above 500. In fact, it's been 60 games, Mark, since they've been above 500. They were 29 and 28, and 60 games later, you're back above 500. So congrats, question mark? But you look at the race now because you are above 500, and you're only three out. Yes, you're behind two teams, really three teams to catch the Mets. You're three back of the Mets. There's two teams in front of you, but I look at those teams. Atlanta is doing Joe Namath on Monday Night Football.
They're leaking.
Struggling.
Yeah.
They are struggling. And St. Louis is a team that I think is kind of regressing to the mean. If you look at their run differential,
minus
46, that's fourth to last in the National League. So not that the Giants are world beaters at minus 7, but you look at the Giants and their expected win-loss record right now based on run differential is one game worse than what it is. So they really are about what they should be, which is a 500 team, but they've got this new rotation that's kind of humming. It's three-fifths humming.
Yeah.
The bats were pretty good in Washington, and they're really good at home, and they've got a couple of weak sisters of the poor coming up in these next few series. So it's a long answer to say, not only is the math there, But things are set up for them to continue to do well in this race. Yeah, they're in the race.
You mentioned the home record. Did you know that there are only two teams in the National League that have won more games at home than the Giants?
I didn't know that, but it makes sense.
Two teams, yeah, and they go by the name of the Dodgers and the Phillies.
Yeah.
That's it.
And those are the really good teams. And Milwaukee's also really good, but that's about it.
Yeah, they're actually they're really good on the road, so that's why their record is what it is. But the Giants have won 33 baseball games at home. And so, here we go with this homestand. And it is calendar month August, and here we are. So it's tenuous. I get it. But that's also another part of my question. I would argue this. The Giants now have a winning record. The number that's in the games back column in the wild card is a manageable number. But does it feel like it? I sort of would argue that right now, most Giants fans I know are looking at this kind of side-eyed. Like, all right, you're in the race, but I'm not sure if I believe you yet. And I think that the reasons for that are abundant. Let's put it that way. I think there's a lot of reasons for that. I think recent history is part of that. I think we also watch the games and realize that there are some things still going on with this team that don't look right. And we mentioned them yesterday. Their closer's a mess. They do not score runs from third base with less than two outs. And two-fifths of their starting rotation looks very young and gassed. And so all of those things are legitimate concerns, and I still think it's hard for even the biggest of Giants fan to reason with the idea that this team's going to go to battle with the Phillies or the Dodgers and make something out of that series.
Yeah, but let's get there first, and then we can worry about whether or not you can make something out of that series. I look at a team that is averaging more than five runs a game over the last 13, where they've gone 10-3, and you know the majority of those have been on the road. You had six at home, seven on the road. I look at series one, and this is something that you and I talked about before you went to Hawaii. Just win series. That's the most important thing, and you swept Colorado, you split with Oakland, you won at Cincinnati, and you won at Washington. Winning series. And you've got Detroit here, three at home. Just take two of the three, and then you got Atlanta for four. Be great to take three of the four, but even a split doesn't hurt you. Two in Oakland, split doesn't hurt you. You're just kind of treading water with splits, but if you can win series, just don't lose series. You do have the White Sox coming up for three. And
so there's three wins.
You would hope.
God, I hope.
I mean, anything less than two out of three would be an abomination. And then you get towards September, and things do get a little rougher. You got Seattle and Milwaukee, both on the road. That might be the ultimate litmus test, but I'm getting too far ahead of myself. That's toward the end of August. But I do think with the pitching being better for the most part, you know, Birdsong and Harrison looking a little long in the tooth.
Well, Birdsong, that was one bad outing. That was one bad outing,
right.
And I'd argue his worst pitch was actually not his fault at all.
No.
That C.J. Abrams three-run homer.
That was crazy.
It was up at his nose.
Yep.
I don't know how the hell he did that. But anyway, go ahead. You were saying.
I just think when you've got Snell and Ray and Webb pitching at home against lesser teams, those are games that you would expect to win.
Yes.
And, you know, you've been great at home. Blake Snell is usually amazing after July 1st, and that's been the case. You know, his outing in Washington was a little bit lopsided, but he still was able to get the W. Second in a row for Blake Snell. I think that Robbie Ray's been mostly great. So I think everything lines up pretty well for you.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, what, when you look at the whole thing, what excites you right now? That's sort of where I'm at, because I still, like, I've been talking to a lot of Giants fans over the last week. You go to Washington and everything, and a lot of the text messages that are going back and forth are still kind of angry. There's still kind of this residual, like, you're barking at the TV, you're kind of mad that, like, there's a runner at third, and there's one out, and it's like, you know, Mike Yastrzemski, who, for example, if you really want to dive into Yaz over the last month and a half, he's been a damn good baseball player. But you send him up there with a runner at third and one out, and you're like, oh, God, he's going to strike out. He's going to strike out. You feel that way about Matt Chapman. But Matt Chapman's been a star for the last month, you know? So I'm trying to figure out put my finger on what it is. Did you know, for example, you just mentioned what they're averaging in terms of offense over the last couple of months.
More than five.
For the season, the San Francisco Giants average 4.44 runs per game.
It's pretty good.
That is more than they averaged in their World Series years.
That's crazy.
Gather that for a second.
Yeah, they're 13th in baseball right now in runs scored. Better than the league average.
The they can't hit team of you out there, I know, like, I'm sort of with you. It feels that way, but it isn't. It isn't that way. I've been trying to ring this bell all year. The problem with the San Francisco Giants is their pitching staff. It's not their offense. You could argue that the clutch stats, if there were such a thing, I wish that MLB would adopt that along with the NBA. Like, tell me what you're doing when it matters. I understand that, right, your run total is, in the end, I guess, all that matters, but there's too many times where there's like a shoulda, coulda, woulda inning that just doesn't happen for the Giants. But that'd be the only thing I could really argue with in terms of offense. They are scoring enough runs. They are giving up too many of them.
Yeah.
That's the problem with this baseball team. And if the reemergence of Blake Snell, the return of Robbie Ray from injury, and Logan Webb squaring himself, if those three things change that, then I'd argue we got action.
Yeah. And that's the way I see it, because Blake Snell has been spectacular, nothing short of amazing. And again, the last outing was a little bit, it was just a mediocre outing.
But yeah, it was a normal good outing.
Right, yeah. But he had been almost legendary, almost world record breaking before that. Robbie Ray has been spectacular, and Logan Webb, it seems, off his last outing, has found himself again after three a little bit uneven performances. And then you get to the other two spots, and you know, you hope that Harrison can find a little bit more of the velocity, and you hope that Hayden Birdsong just had a one-off bad outing and what's been a great start to his career. Your team is much better from a pitching standpoint at home. The one thing you do still kind of hold your breath over, and you've been mentioning it all week, it's your closer, Camilo Doval, and you have to hold a reliever back just in case. You've got your just-in-case guy in the bullpen now because you don't totally have full faith in Camilo Doval. That's not a good thing for a team that's making a playoff push.
The Rockies, the Diamondbacks, the Marlins, and the Nationals. That's the list. Those are the National League teams who have given up more runs than the Giants. And they play in the best pitcher's park in baseball. So that's not okay. That's not okay. And that is the problem. I know all the other things that feel like there are problems. Soler grounds into a double play. Well, he's gone. You know, and there are little things that we can pick out. There's still injuries going on out there. They're very young all of a sudden up the middle of the diamond. Like, insanely young. You've got this group of three players, Tyler Fitzgerald, Brett Wisely, and Casey Schmidt. And bless the man. He'd been on the show. His smile is infectious. I love everything about who he is, but right now it does not appear that Casey Schmidt is a big league baseball player. I'm sorry. He just isn't. I don't know any other way to say it. And somehow, with all of that, and then just like newfound people, let's grab Encarnacion
right,
and trade for Mark Canna, and let's roll. And all of a sudden, you win 10 out of 13 baseball games.
You've got Herrera and Encarnacion replacing Marco Luciano.
Exactly.
Which, all of a sudden, we're not wondering about where the hell is Marco.
No, nobody's bothered.
No. And
Tyler Fitzgerald might be a star.
Might be. All he does is hit bombs.
I mean, this is getting to be a little bit long to be a hot streak. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but we saw this from Elliot Ramos. He was,
and it stuck.
Right. And he, you know, he's still been good, but he had a little bit of a down period, and now he's bounced back some. This is obviously longer than the Luis Matos hot streak, but Elliot Ramos has put together a half a year already, a full half a year of .849 OPS with 17 homers. That's legit. I'm not saying that he's come crashing back down to earth, but he leveled off a little bit And Tyler Fitzgerald so far through 54 games, exactly one-third of a full season, the OPS is over 1,000. 1,009 for Tyler Fitzgerald, the OPS.
That's a,
In 54 games.
That's superstardom.
Right. That's a third of a season, though. I mean, that's a full third now at 54 games.
Okay. I think that we need to pivot.
You got something over there?
We got something.
What do you got?
So, remember off the top of the show, right before we came in here, Tom Pelissero was the first to send out the tweet about Brandon Ayuk.
Yep.
And said that the 49ers have made a renewed effort in recent days to strike a long-term deal with Brandon Ayuk. Sources tell me and Mike Garofalo. Situation fluid, and other teams, including Pittsburgh, are still in the mix, but a return to San Francisco appears increasingly possible. That was the tweet from Pelissero. That was placed on Instagram by... Is that Brad Graham's feed? Okay, Brad Graham, who has come on the station, covers the 49ers and runs the social media outlet, the SF Niners, okay? So all he did was put on Instagram a screenshot of Pelissero's tweet and then put the eyeballs emojis all over the place, like we often do when you're like, take a look at this, everybody, take a look at this. Brandon himself...
Ayuk
went to Instagram and commented on Brad's eyeball emojis.
I'm seeing six eyeballs.
One, two, three, that's 12 four, eyes. Five, six, seven, eight, nine. Yeah, exactly. Brandon writes, Brad, Niners be in the media every day, LOL. It's two options out there. Pick one and stop dropping reports. Simple.
Man.
Okay.
Two options out there. Give me an extension or send me to Pittsburgh. That's the way I read that.
Right. I do too. I do too.
So,
does that go so far in your guys' mind as to refute the idea that there was a kumbaya meeting?
No. That to me says Schmidt or get off the pot is what it means.
Okay.
Shout out Casey.
The Niners would probably say the same thing to Brandon. I gotta say it's at minimum, because if I'm reading this right, this just happened an hour ago?
Yes.
Okay. If I'm reading this right, it's a little bit deflating. It's a little bit deflating from the perspective of the vibe that's been created by these tweets is not just that they re-engaged, but that there was some optimism. There was some movement. Does Brandon write that if he's feeling like there's movement? Or have we reached a spot where he's like, I'll believe it when I see it?
That's what I think it is. Okay. And I think that there was a meeting and an exchange and some openness and honesty and a re-engagement of talks. I don't think that it was as simple as, you know what, Brandon, we're going to give you the 28. We heard TJ Houshmandzadeh on with Willard and Dibbs, and darn it, he's right. 28 feels good. Let's just hammer out the details and get this thing done by close of business. I think it was more of, look, Brandon, I understand you want to be here. You know we want you here. Let's sit down with Ryan Williams, your agent. We'll get Parag and Ryan back on the phone, and we'll start to see if we can't find some middle ground on this deal. Meanwhile, news of that kumbaya between Brandon and the brass and Kyle Shanahan that leaks. And so Brandon sees that and he's like, enough of the reports and the news. Get this thing done. Do one of two things, because I'm tired. I'm Brandon Ayuk. I'm tired of holding in.
Yeah.
All you guys are on your way to Tennessee right now. I'm here at home playing video games. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of these reports. That's what I'm reading.
Yeah, you are, Brandon. You're sick of the Niners being in the media every day.
Just give me 28.
Captain TikTok. You sure about that now?
Instagram
and
now.
I say that just to be a devil's advocate. Here's what I'm saying. I'm not putting it on Brandon. I'm putting it on both sides. What I hear are two people fighting, both accusing the other one of doing what they're doing themselves.
Exactly. They're doing the same thing.
TJ Houshmandzadeh says, hey, Jed York, don't let your feelings get into business. Brandon did.
And Brandon just did an hour ago.
Brandon says, hey, Niners, get out of the media. Dude, you've been on TikTok for 3 months. You're putting poop emojis on Instagram. from the parking lot after exit interviews.
Maybe he had to go number two.
So now, you know what I'm saying?
I totally know what you're saying.
Then and this goes in both directions. Just all the parenting stuff is triggering for me.
Well, for me,
I just want to tell both kids, go to your room and figure it out.
Well, this is like, you know, when your kid, whatever, my brothers and sister used to do this to me all the time. They would do this thing where they'd go, and you can't see it on...
You're pointing at my face.
Yes, those people on the radio, you can't see it, but they would point to me and make that sound, and I just could not handle it. It would drive me crazy. So we'd be on a car trip, and then, the three of them in the back, and I'd be sitting between mom and dad. No seatbelts. It was the 70s. Get over it.
Yeah,
and
you made it.
In the back, and I'd turn around, and all three of them... And I was screaming and crying. I couldn't handle it. That's what this is. Brandon Ayuk can't handle these reports getting out in the media because he just wants it done.
Neither can the Niners.
Well, that's why Brandon is commenting on IG. He can't stand it.
Kyle Shanahan is reportedly upset because Brandon's holding in and he's like on his field. Hi, guys. It's Tuesday. Right. I'm here again. You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
There's no guilty party here. It's both of you. It's both of you. And the worst part is all of this is so passive aggressive. Everybody's cruising around, swashbuckling and threatening. Oh, Jaden Daniels and we'll just trade you to the Steelers. And it's become abundantly clear that neither one of you want to follow through with your threats. It's all a wet newspaper now. You both want each other. You're both mad. You're both triggered by each other. You're both up in your feelings. You're both letting a few bucks totally drive your bus. Both of you. And both of you are in the public every day accusing the other one of exactly what you're doing. Maybe they should be the two presidential candidates. And they could just yell at each other every day for doing the exact same thing that everybody's doing.
That got political.
Sorry.
Yeah. Try to looking for a third-party candidate. You know, as we speak.
Really.
Exactly.
Anyway.
I think that this is just, Brandon's got nothing to do. The 49ers are on their way to Tennessee.
They're on a plane.
I'm on a boat. They're on a plane to Tennessee to play football, and he's not going because he's not a part of the team right now. So he's just sitting at home like all the rest of these Gen Zers, and he's just on his phone, scroll, 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 scroll. And for him, it's like, oh, I'm trending again. Who could have seen that coming? And you see the Pelissero, and you're like, that's not totally what it is. This makes it seem like we're close to doing the deal. So I'm going to go ahead and come on top and comment and let people know, no, we're not close. You got two choices. Make one of them. Yeah, it's just,
oof.
If I was advising him, I would use the Bob Fitzgerald drop. Stay off of Twitter.
Well, he did. He went to Instagram.
There you go. You get the bit.
All right. So if you're just joining us, let me, because I know that could get a little bit confusing and fuzzy. Here's what has taken place since 2 o'clock. Tom Pelissero goes to Twitter. He was the first to do it, but it has been backed up by many, including Diana Russini, including Jordan Schultz, who joins us in a half hour. But Pelissero writes, the 49ers have made a renewed effort in recent days to strike a long-term deal with Brandon Ayuk. The situation is fluid, and other teams, including Pittsburgh, are still in the mix. But a return to San Francisco appears increasingly possible. Brad Graham goes to Instagram and screenshots that, along with a picture of Brandon, and puts up eyeball emojis. Brandon comments on that post and writes, Brad, Niners be in the media every day, LOL. It's two options out there. Pick one and stop dropping reports. Simple. Everybody's playing tough guy. You know? I mean, that to me, that's him saying, I'll go to Pittsburgh. Do it.
You won't. Totally.
And the Niners are sitting there going, take the 33 mil from New England. Do it.
You won't. He didn't. $2 million apart. They can't get this settled over $2 million a year.
All right, let's take some phone calls on this. There is now, here we go. We're right back to it because this is new information with regard to the Brandon Ayuk situation. How do you react to it? 888-957-9570, Jordan Schultz in 30 minutes. It's Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Mark! Do you have to be a homer on the radio?
Well, Brian, you have no idea.
Well, hold on a second.
On 95.7 The Game.
I got fresh Rossini. Fresh Rossini.
That's awesome. Working through some salad there, sorry.
That's fine.
I'm angry, Jeff.
That's awesome.
This is my bad. I probably shouldn't have thrown you the ball so quick.
No, it was good. I should have been ready.
No.
Normally, Grandy gives us a coming back.
No, everybody can just
didn't
keep
hear it.
Cruising around
it's
their
on
day.
Me.
Going,
I did give it. Didn't hear it. It's
Mark,
on me.
Mark never lets Dibs talk. Oh, yeah, Dibs. Throw him the ball and he's over there eating salad.
Thanks.
I mean, for crying out loud.
Yep.
I'm going to eat it.
Thank you.
Weight loss read coming up in an hour.
Well, at least it's salad that you're eating.
Exactly.
It would have been worse if you were like crushing meatballs or something in the middle of the segment.
Mom!
What is she doing? I never know what she's doing. Anyway, join 95.7 The Game at Harding Park Friday, September 6th for the Pettinelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament benefiting the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. Go to 957thegame.com to learn more. Presented by ATCO Pest Control, the Bay Area's locally family-owned pest control company. Diana Rossini, among the tapped-in reporters nationally on the Brandon Ayuk situation. This is a little bit of a different flavor. Check this out. She says, I texted a front office executive and asked, why do you think the 49ers aren't calling back the Steelers? So file that, because that's information that's interesting. But that's the question. Here's the answer she got. Probably wait as long as they can and force someone to blink. Sounds like they really don't want to trade. Maybe hoping someone else comes along. The whole thing is very strange. That's the answer from the unnamed front office executive to Diana Russini. I get all kinds of stuff out of that.
Makes sense that they wouldn't really want to trade.
Correct.
And I think that they're only making calls or taking calls because he requested a trade. And so you go out there and you see what teams are interested in giving you just in case that Brandon Ayuk wants to be traded. Maybe you get overwhelmed by an offer and then it makes sense. And also, I think you want to get some intel on what other teams are willing to pay Brandon Ayuk. So it becomes, you know, a real market check on how other teams see Brandon Ayuk in the market.
Well, I agree with you there. I also notice when she says, why do you think the 49ers aren't calling back the Steelers? That in and of itself is interesting. We didn't know that the 49ers weren't calling the Steelers back. The Steelers have not given the Niners the offer they want. Or do the Niners actually not want any offer at all? That's what I still question. I really do. I don't know if the 49ers are really fully doing good faith negotiating with these Brandon Ayuk landing spots. You know what I mean? Why do we know exactly? The Patriots were a yes and they offered 32, but why do we know all of that? I wonder if the Niners don't leak that and the Browns full well knowing that Brandon's not going there. So then you leak that. Okay, and then the Steelers thing, they kind of hide behind, oh, well, shish, we're not getting what we want from the Steelers. Like, there's a piece of me that's like, you don't want to send him anywhere.
Exactly.
And you won't, because you don't have to. It's never made sense to anyone with an NFL brain, and I've listened to literally hundreds of people on this. It's never made sense to anyone, the idea that the San Francisco 49ers, very well respected, smart organization, takes care of its people, and is trying to win a Super Bowl, would trade one of their best players in August, who's under contract. What on earth are we talking about?
Exactly.
That is an absurd concept in and of itself. So I don't like, I do not, 100% of me does not believe that the 49ers are even having these conversations with these teams with the intent of actually ever saying yes.
Unless they get totally overwhelmed by the package coming back, which would have to include a player, most notably a wide receiver.
Right.
So even if all of that happened, they still would be reluctant to trade Brandon Ayuk because pick any other receiver out there, even if they could get George Pickens or Amari Cooper, these are players that you don't know that they can fit in your system. You know that Brandon Ayuk fits in your system very well. He fits in your locker room. He does what you need him to do. He was a second team All-Pro. So even if you got picks and a player back, even Davante Adams, you would think that he'd be as good as Brandon Ayuk, if not a little bit better. But you don't know how he'd fit into your offense. You can make an assumption that he'd fit fine.
Yeah, I'd be pretty, pretty excited about
Devontae. To the point of, you know, any trade, Brandon Ayuk is a known commodity. You've seen it in this offense. And the Greg Cosell cut you played earlier about all the things that he does so well and the fact that he is a perfect scheme fit for what the Niners do, those are things that you just don't part with in August.
Okay, now here's the other thing that sort of sparks to my mind when I read this. The executive surmises that the 49ers are just trying to wait as long as they can. This is the part that I'm really starting to question. This is a process that the 49ers have used repeatedly. They are very shrewd negotiators, stubborn negotiators. They have made a name for themselves this way, and it has served them very well in building this roster. It has allowed them flexibility with these contracts. They are paying very, very little dead money. If you look at the whole arc of the Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, and Parag Marate group, they do a very, very good job. However, at a certain point, you do have to, I think, look at sort of evolving. And you're playing with a different group now. You've been a good team for a long time, but now you've got like superstardom all over the roster and success, even though not the last game, but success. And so everybody wants a piece of the pie and all of that. And you're still playing kind of the same negotiating ploy that you always do. Wait, 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 wait. And two off seasons in a row already, if not three, it has burned you on some level. You waited with Debo, not that late, but he showed up out of shape and had a bad year. You waited with Nick Bosa way too long. He was rusty for a month. And now you've waited to a point with Brandon Ayuk where the wide receiver market has exploded and you have ticked him off something awful and now are in the middle of a war of words in August when you're supposed to be getting ready for an important season.
You've tick-tocked him off also.
Well played.
Thank you. I think that, you know, you mentioned earlier process results. The process may need to change going forward, but right now you're so embroiled in this that I think your process continues to be something you have to look at because you have this meeting and it's a, you know, behind closed doors meeting between Brandon Ayuk, maybe his agent as well. Kyle Shanahan was reportedly there as well as members of the front office, 49ers brass, and that meeting gets leaked. And because it gets leaked and it gets reported on, Brandon Ayuk spends his free time. He's not playing, so it's all free time. And he immediately chimes in with his own commentary. So it seems to me that Brandon Ayuk is not thrilled with the amount of media attention that's coming out from the Niners side. And I don't know if this is necessarily helping things, the fact that these details continue to get leaked out. So maybe that's a part of your process that you need to button up going forward and not have these things get out. If it's bothering Brandon, and it sure seemed like this is bothering him, where he comes into an Instagram post and says, look, it's one of only two options. It's time to choose, 49ers. That sounds to me like he's annoyed. So maybe we find a way to stop having these things get leaked, 49ers?
I tell you what, like, I think you got to look at everything. And you do start comparing it to the past. And you look back at the Nick Bosa negotiation, and I remember you and I coming in here every day, and people would criticize Bosa or criticize the team based on numbers that we had no clue if they were true or not. We had no clue. We're just making stuff up. Why? Because nothing was ever leaked. Nobody leaked anything. Nick was out of sight, out of mind. Nobody leaked anything. There's an ungodly amount of information about this out on social media. It is an hour does not go by without national reporters saying something.
I was going to say there's like 4 to 6 reports a day.
It's constant.
From Pittsburgh, from Pellicero, from New England, from the national reporters to local people.
And you and I, we talk to our listeners about this a lot. That doesn't happen without intent. It's not like these people are just like unbelievable gatherers and they're at every camp all the time.
You're saying Tom Pellicero isn't up against the wall with a glass on his ear listening in?
Exactly.
The room is bugged. He's tapped in.
You know what these people have? Phones.
Right.
So, and people are texting them information that they want them to tweet.
So why are the 49ers leaking that there is this meeting? Is it to try to defang Brandon Ayuk? Is it try to disarm Pittsburgh and their dreams of acquiring Brandon Ayuk? Is it to try to make this less of a story as we head into a weekend where the 49ers actually, clears throat, play football? And I know it's an exhibition game, but there's a lot at stake for a number of these 49ers.
Sure, sure, all of them. I mean,
like, what's the motivation for a Friday leak that there was a closed door meeting and there was a kumbaya vibe?
Two things come to mind. Number one, this makes the Niners look like the good guys, right?
We're trying to make this work.
And number two, it calms everybody down who's on the could you just get this over with front? You need something new to chew on. You need a reason why this week has passed, and again, you don't have a resolution. You know what I mean? The Steelers have made their offer, and the 49ers can either trade or they can just force them to play on the fifth-year option. None of these things are good. So you put out there to the public, hey, no. Renewed meetings. We want to get into the room with him and maybe apologize and see if he will too. I don't know. Let's go live to Mark Grandy. who has a super chat. What's going on YouTube?
Super chat on the YouTube chat powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Dennis, $5. I think he summed this up pretty well. BA knows and the Niners know that he would not enjoy this level of success anywhere else, so it's a stalemate. Yeah, and that's what the Niners are thinking, right?
Okay, but what do you do with a stalemate? What do you do with a stalemate? If you are an actual, right, if you're, we can't do a hung jury and just set the guy free. Like, that's not, we can't do that.
If it's a true stalemate, then he plays his fifth year option.
Oh, God.
If it's a true stalemate.
Yeah, but that's not a good outcome.
So I don't think that this is a stalemate. What I think this is more of a staring contest where you're waiting for somebody to blink. And Brandon Ayuk so far has not blinked. And the 49ers haven't really blinked. And both sides have done what they've done through the media, through us. And here we sit on Friday with no real movement, even though they had a come-to-Jesus man-to-man talk where they apparently aired some laundry, which, coming on the heels of what TJ Houshmandzadeh said yesterday, Brandon Ayuk's personal coach, that he'd take 28 and, you know, he'd turn down 32-plus in New England. Originally, the offer was 26, but he'd take 28. So if that, and that's from Brandon's side, which is basically, look, we're ready to do this at 28. That's the message I got yesterday from the TJ interview. 28 would get this done.
Well, now, and this is where things might be working in a PR sort of a way for Brandon. 28 sounds and feels right now like Brandon is making concessions and the Niners aren't, except for that we're moving forward with that idea off of a phone number. Just because people have thrown out there, well, Brandon wants 30. I don't know that Brandon ever asked for 30. I mean, TJ Houshmandzadeh told us 2 months ago, if you had given him the Amon-Ra deal, this would be done. Like, he'd have run into the office and signed that.
So for 30, yeah.
Right, so I don't know that he asked for 30. I don't know that he asked for 30. And then the other piece of information out there is that New England might have offered as much as 32 and a half. Okay, is that real? I mean, probably.
TJ made it seem like it was real.
It makes it feel like Brandon is making concessions. However, it's entirely possible that this has been 26 and 28 the whole time and nobody will move.
Right.
That's possible.
Well, and also, and I do believe that that could be it, but the part of that is it might have been 26 and, yeah, we're pretty sure that we'll accept that. We're going to get back to you. And then, as I said before, it's contract, 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 contract. And all of a sudden, Brandon says to his agent, hey, my 26 is now 28. And the Niners are saying, hey, we were at the goal line with 26. And now you want 28? You're going to have to wait on 28. We're going to have to think this through.
Jordan Schultz is a big-time NFL insider. He's been reporting on this in lockstep with those like Pelissero, like Russini, like Schefter for the last couple of weeks. And he will join us in just over 10 minutes. But let's get to some calls until that time. Philmo Mike is on the line, so let's do that for sure. Philmo, what's good today?
Oh, man, you know, living, working, chilling in one of the greatest hoods of all time. Philmo, California is one of the greatest neighborhoods, not in San Francisco, but in the world. Anyway, I stay in Oakland, so when I'm in Philmo, I gotta boast a little. Anyway, the Niners better stop playing, man. I don't know what they're playing. Don't turn into far anxiety now. You feel me? You're giving me anxiety. For real, for real. If they sign this player, why are you – okay, two things. You traded DeForest Buckner. That didn't work out. You didn't get a Super Bowl ring, just like TJ Houshmandzadeh said. You keep playing with people in the summer. Get your player signed. Get it locked up early. Stop trying to win every freaking deal because guess what? You don't win every game. We don't win the Super Bowl. The things that we need to win, you're not winning. You tripping about winning a contract negotiation? If it comes out and it's leaked that it's $2 to $3 million that we missing and they tripping and quibbling over for what? Bro, this is the year we got to make it happen. Make it happen. You know? It'll be an awesome 30 for 30, as Google always says. Just make it happen. It's right there. You have the best team. Sign up Ayuk. Become greater. Don't become great. Become greater. Get Trent Williams in there and be great, man. Don't play around. Don't waste your opportunity. And don't look at it like you got next year. Look at Dan Marino, Brock Purdy. Oh, man, I'm so happy to be here. Now, get the job finished and accomplished now. Shout out to Steph Curry, too. He did his thing yesterday, man. That was a great night.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was Fillmore, thank you, man. Appreciate you, as always. 888-957-9570. It's so funny to watch the pendulum swing on this. And it feels like it just comes down to whoever spoke loudest most recently. You know, TJ comes on with us, and it does feel like there's now... I don't know if he set out to do this, but he did a job. He did a job now.
Oh, he carried the water. Well, now. A little bit of Herm Edwards right there.
He said 28, and the second he said that, you could feel all of these stories start. Now people are like, wait a minute, that's all it would take?
Hold on, Niners.
Come on, Niners.
We were mad at Ayuk for being so greedy to turn down 32 with New England. You wanted to be traded. They had $32 million for you, and you said no? Oh, Brandon, how dare you? Even some close to me said they were out on Brandon Ayuk.
Yep.
And now here comes the pendulum back the other way. He'll do it for 28. He just wants to play.
Wow.
He just wants to be a Niner. Oh, goes the pendulum back toward Brandon.
No doubt. And I also think that people have finally settled here late in the week with the idea that both of these sides still want each other. I think if you went back to early in the week, it feels untenable. It feels unrecoverable. It feels like there's hatred in the room. But at the core of it, I think we've arrived at a spot where people realize both of them are fully aware that they are still best for one another, and in their hearts of hearts, that's what they all want. Brandon wants to stay. The 49ers want the starting receiver opposite Deebo Samuel to be Brandon Ayuk. And if that's what you want, you sort of get to the point where you're like, what are you fighting about?
Right.
Like, what is this really about? And I know, so today is a day where a lot of us want the 49ers to just be like, oh, stop making it about a couple million bucks here or there. Well, that's what the Niners do. And it has served them very, very handsomely. So I get that I'm not saying change your process, Niners. I'm saying review it. Review it, because it feels like you're starting to take some L's. And you usually don't. So review your process, but I'm not going to be so arrogant as to say, change your process, Niners, it doesn't work. Well, look at their outfit.
No, it works.
Whatever they're doing, they're not stupid, and they know what they're doing.
But this process this time is getting a little bit sloppier than it normally does. And today, when you get the leaked information about a meeting that happens behind closed doors, okay, pendulum swings back toward the Niners. They're trying. They're trying to make it work with Brandon. And if they're $2 million apart, darn it, we're going to sit down and work this out. But then, moments later, whoosh, the pendulum, not whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. The pendulum swings back to Brandon, because Brandon goes on IG and says, y'all got two options. You choose, trade me or pay me. So the pendulum now is swinging a lot faster back and forth than it has all week.
You know what I'm looking for?
The pendulum to stop.
Quiet.
Not me.
That's when you know something's getting done.
I like chaos.
It's quiet. That's when you know the two sides are no longer trying to use the media to get all of us on their side.
That's a good point.
If Brandon's on IG and the 49ers are on the phone with Tom Pelissero, that means you're not talking to each other.
Yeah.
That's not good.
It's good for us.
Yes, yes.
It's good for business.
You know?
888-957-9570, good for business.
Okay, DJ in Brentwood, how about that? Hey, DJ, what's going on?
How's it going, fellas? How are you guys doing?
Good, good.
And just, you know, this whole Brandon Ayuk situation, and he is best served to be with the Niners, and the Niners are best served place for him. He has the structure, he has the people and the other superstars around him that have allowed him to grow into what he is. But on the flip side of that, it's hard for me to pay or to justify paying him as a top 10 receiver right now or even for next year. When I know everybody looks at these lists in the top 100 players, well, that's voted on by the players. And there are 13 other receivers ahead of him on that list, right or wrong, but those are the players that line up against him, play with him, have for the past few years. So if there's any way that it can be structured to pay him for what he has done and not what he might do in another system with other players where he might not have the support to where he's the focus. Is he going to do better?
Well, okay. You're totally right, DJ, but that is the flaw in the system that is pro sports. Sometimes you've got to predict, and that will cost you money. Go right now and look at the top paid quarterbacks in the game. Are they the best? Are they the best? Is Brock Purdy the best quarterback in football?
No, he's not.
Is he going to be paid like it next offseason?
He very well could be.
Probably. Yeah. Jordan Love right now, $55 million. Is he the best quarterback in the NFC?
No, it's not the way it works. Yeah. It's the latest, not the best.
So, and by the way, if Brandon is the 14th best receiver in the NFL, that's pretty good.
According to his peers.
Yeah, but that's pretty good. 14th best probably does get you $28 million.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Probably you know, get you 25 at least, but yeah.
And it's also like, well, he's not as good as Devontae Adams. Right, but he's like 6 years younger. You know, this contract is paying this person for his 20s. And that's something that the 49ers...
Well, it's paying you for what you're going to do. In part, what you've already done, but yes. Really, they're paying you for what you're going to do.
Jordan Schultz is all over this, and he's been with ESPN and FS1 and all over the place, and he is reporting on this along with the best of them. And he is going to join us coming up next. We will also get back to your Brandon Ayuk phone calls as the plot continues to thicken. This is Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.